Morning, everyone. Today's Daf and Erevin is Daf Nun Vav. We're on 56. We are on 55B. We're on Nun Hamad Beis. And we are continuing from our discussion that we left off yesterday. We are talking about squaring the city. The idea of squaring a city is such that when you have a city, the city obviously is going to have a natural shape to it, shape built based on the houses and the lay of the land and the structures. So whatever the shape of the city is actually going to be, for argument's sake, let's say the city is circular. So we have a halacha that we're allowed to square the city, which means that basically that before we even start measuring tchum, what we first do is we actually put a square around the city, and that will become now the city's borders, and tchum is going to be measured only after we square the city. Very straightforward, so far so good. And that has been our discussion. The Bryce's yesterday on Daf Nun Hey, we're dealing with cities that were not just circular in shape, but were other shapes as well. We talked yesterday about a trapezoid. We spoke yesterday about an L-shaped city. So we gave a host of other shapes as well. Another shape that we talked about yesterday in the Daf was a rainbow. We have a city that basically looks like a rainbow. And we spoke yesterday in detail. The Gemara gave some attention to this discussion of what exactly we're going to do in terms of filling in the square of the rainbow. And basically we were talked yesterday at length about the bow and the bowstring, and basically filling in the area of the bow and the bowstring. And the Gemara talked exactly how the distance between the two ends of the rainbow and the difference between the long side as well, meaning from the bowstring to the actual bow. Good, that was all yesterday's daf, and that was daf Nun Hey, both Amud Aleph and Amud Beis. We're on Nun Hey, Amud Beis, and we're halfway down on the Amud, and we are going now back to our Mishnah. Our Mishnah basically said that building structures can extend your tchum. In fact, not your tchum, by the way. Let's be careful about how we say this. Right, we're talking right now about the city. We're not talking about the extension of tchum. We're talking about the extension of a city. So that only then do we have to measure tchum. So when we talk about extending of the city, excuse me. So if you look back at the Mishnah says that you can have all the different types of structures that can extend. If you go back to the bottom of Nun Beis Amud Beis, where the Mishnah starts, Ketzem Abram Besarim Bais Nichla Bais Yotze Pogum Nichlas Pogum Yotze Pogum Yotze. So any structure that comes out of the city allows us to move the limits of the city out to that one structure, or even if it's two. I remember the Gemara yesterday asked the question: if I know one extends the city limit, so why do we need two? So the Gemara, remember Gemara's answer yesterday, because even if it's on two different sides, we're still going to allow the extension of the city limits on both sides, even for one house on one side, one house on the other side. Then the Mishnah went on to say, "Hayusham gedudios gavos asar tfachim." If I have gedudiot, okay, the obvious question: what is that? And that's going to allow us to extend the city. So the Gemara now is going to ask exactly this question. We're now on Nun Hamad Beis, and we're continuing in the Gemara from where we left off yesterday. Hayisham gedudios kavos asar tfachim, my gedudios. Okay, the obvious question, what are we talking about? So I'm Rav Yehuda Shosh Mechitza Shein Aleim Tikra. So it is three walls, it has no roof over the top. So in other words, it's a structure. It is a structure, it is a house, but without a roof, it's not the greatest house in the world. But still, though, the point is that once it has three walls, it's considered enough of a structure so that it can extend the limits of the city. Needless to say, and Rashi makes this point very clear, needless to say, if it did have a roof over the top, so then obviously it's going to be a house. The chiddush over here is that even though it doesn't have a roof over the top, it's still going to be considered a house. Now, Ibailu Shem Mechitzus V'yeshlam Tikra Mahu. So the Gemara says, okay, let's play around a little bit with these dimensions. Let's say it only has two walls, but it has a roof over the top. Okay, so three walls is a structure. That we agree. Three walls will extend the city. That's also where we agree. But what if it was two walls, but with a ceiling over the top? So Tashma, the Gemara says, okay, so let's see. And now the Gemara is going to quote for us a lengthy brisa. It's a Tosefta. And basically, over the course of this Tosefta, it's going to seem to discuss our very question about a two-walled structure with a roof over the top. So bear with me, because this price is going to be a little bit lengthy. So the price basically can be divided into two halves. The first half of the price is going to be talking about structures that do extend the city limit. And then the second half of the price are going to be talking about the structures that will not extend the city limit. So first, those structures that do. Any structure that has 4x4 amos. Now, remember, when we talk about structures over here, we're really talking about a base dira. We're talking about something which is used for residence. You will see time and again, the common theme over here is that then there needs to be some sort of residential use. Now, in terms of the minimum dimensions for a residential use, it's going to be 4x4 amos. Okay, we learned that together in Sukkah, or I should say in the Daf. We are going to learn this together in Sukkah, but right now you get to see it very clearly here as well. For Dira, for residence, it needs to be 4x4 amos. That's a very small house. Anything less than that, look, it may be a Rosh Hashanah Lagabi Shabbos, right? By Shabbos, what's the dimensions? 4x4 Tfachim by Shabbos. That's tiny. But in terms of residence, it needs to be 4x4 amos, right? Somewhere between 6 to 8 feet, by 6 to 8 feet. If it's a bridge or if it's a graveyard that has a base dira, meaning the bridge by itself is not residential, obviously, and neither is the graveyard, but if it's got a house which could be used for residence, so then that itself is going to be considered a base dira, which is going to extend the city limits. If you have a shul, where there's a room for the chazan. Chazan, you know, in the times of the Gemara and the Mishnah, chazan does not mean the cantor, chazan means the gabbai.
He lived there.
He lived there. He took care of it, the shamash. Or let's say you have a base of Avodah Zarah. Now, I know this is strange, right? Yeah. In other words, usually with the base of Avodah Zarah, we want nothing to do with it. But,
it's
supposed to destroy it. But, it extends the city limits. Okay. So, it is strange, undoubtedly. Meaning, we are, considering the fact that we're talking about Tchum Shabbos, meaning it's going to benefit us. Because now it allows us to extend the city limits, and then we can walk 2,000 amos past that as well.
Understood.
Basically, in a nutshell, I'm also bothered by that. So, Beis Dira Lakomrim, Ve'aruvos, Ve'atzara, Shebesados, and if I have these storehouses out in the field, Yesh Ben Beis Dira. And again, you're going to see it every single time. It has to have a base dira. It must have a base dira. Without the base dira, it's simply nothing. Meaning, it may be a building, but what needs to extend the city is something which is residential. And also, if I have a house out in the ocean, Rashi explains, you have like a little island right off of the land. And it's a little island right off the land. So, and there's a house on that little island, so that will allow me to extend the city limits. Hare elu misabrim imam. Okay, so that's it. In other words, that's the first half of the braisa. That's a list of structures which will extend the city limit. Ve'elu she'en misabrim imam nefesh apirish and ifritz l'mishtei b'chuseha. If I have a cemetery with a building which is only enclosed by two walls. Okay, so already right there, you see, that's the part of the braisa that we want. We're going to come back to that part of the braisa in just a moment. And if I have a bridge or a graveyard without a residential house, basically, everything we mentioned inside A of the braisa, but without a base dira. In other words, there was no residential house connected to any of these structures. Here also, in addition to all that, bais siach uma'ara, bor siach uma'ara, if I have a pit or a cistern, or any type of basically cave, underground cave, v'gedev v'shevach shebetocha, or if I have a wall with some sort of dovecot inside, v'habay shebesfina, or if I have a house on a boat, Ein elu misabrim imam. These are things that will not extend the city limits. These are not considered structures. Valid structures to extend the city, because, and again, it has to be residential. So far, so good. That is the entirety of the braisa. And, as we pointed out, we're going to pick out one part of the braisa, and that is Ketani Mias. It says in the braisa, Nefesh Nifritz HaMishei Rechosa, Eilech Veilech. We're talking about a structure with only two walls. And what did the braisa teach us? No good. So my love, Dika Tikra, now the Gemara says ostensibly, now we're going to make an assumption, that we're talking about where it has two walls and it has a roof, and the Gemara says low, Deleka Tikra, And the Gemara says, no, it's not. That's an assumption. Not necessarily. It's talking about two walls with no tikra. But if it did have a tikra, so then it could be considered a base dira, could be considered a residential home in order to extend the city limits. Okay, so that was a lot of work to basically make a suggestion, but then the Gemara essentially said, no, that's not the that's not a correct assumption. Okay, of all the things that we mentioned in the Braisa, one thing does bother the Gemara, by Shabiyam. Right. In other words, so you have like a little island that's right outside, right, if you travel to up north, not that far up north, there's Peanut Island, right? Anyone go there? So yeah, it's still in Palm Beach. So you can take a kayak and you can go out and you can raft over there to Peanut Island. Well, Kennedy had
a bunker there.
He had a bunker over there.
During the Cuban War.
Yep.
How did that help extend the...
So
how does that expand in the sea? Not gonna.
Yeah. Okay. Good. Okay. Fine. Right. So what is it going to do for you in terms of extension? Well, first of all, in other words, on a boat. No, and that's not true. We learned earlier that if you're on a boat, so you're still within tchum. I understand you're not going to be driving the boat out, but still there's tchum even out to the ocean. So and tchum is not going to begin until the island. But again, though, in other words, for all this to work, there has to be A, a house on the island, B, the house on the island has to be proximate to the actual landmass by 70 2/3 amas, right? If I didn't make that point clear, let me make it clear right now. All this only works if that extending house is within 70 2/3 amas of the city. If it's past that, so then it cannot extend the city limit. Okay, so far so good. Yeah. Well, the Gemara said a houseboat is no good, meaning a boat, right? A house on a boat is no good. That's not going to extend. I'll tell you where the big debate lies. I was listening to a shiur on this the other day. Warehouses. Warehouses turns into a major debate amongst poskim, whether warehouses can be considered an extension of a city. You know, most warehouses are placed not in the city. Most warehouses are placed on the outskirts of the city. And so can the warehouse extend the city? So I was listening to a shiur. It's a major debate. Okay. So the Gemara now wants to know, what about a house in the ocean? So, a house on the island. So So in other words, as the ship is coming to port, so it'll make a stop on this little island. It will basically unload all of its wares on the island, and it served as a storehouse for the ship. Okay, shipping dock.
That's the answer to your storehouse.
Yeah. Well,
sort of.
In other words, it still has to be a house of residence over there. Umara in Miss Abram Ima. Now, what about a ma'ara? What about a cave? So, no good. So the Gemara says that's what we learned in the Brisa, at least. Problem. We have another Brisa. Vahatani Rabbi Chiya Mara mit Aberis Ima. So the Brisa Rabbi Chiya says that when you have a cave, so it can extend the city limit. Okay, simple problem. One Brisa says it can, the other Brisa says it can. Okay, Amar Abai Kishyesh Binyan Apia. So Abai says, well, there's a structure over the mouth of the cave. Okay, so the Gemara says, okay, if there's a structure over the mouth of the cave, so I'm not really banking on the cave. Okay,
building.
I'm banking on the building that's on the mouth of the cave. That's the Gemara's next question. V'tepukle Mishum Binyan Gufe. So, okay, so you have a building. So what good is a cave? So the Gemara says, well, good point, but in this particular scenario, the house itself is not large enough. As we pointed out just a couple minutes ago, a house has to be 4x4 amas. This particular house is not 4x4 amas. House plus cave equals 4 amas, and so therefore it's going to be mashlim. I could view the two together, assuming, again, they're open to one another. I could view the two together in order to arrive at the shear of 4x4 amas.
So any underground home structure would not be considered...
Seems to be that way, right? In other words, although when the Gemara says cave, it could just simply mean literally a hole in the ground. Amar Rav Huna Yoshua Tzrifa Mein Modedin Lahen. Okay, people living in huts. Huts are nothing. In fact, Rashi says huts are nothing. If you take a look at Rashi inside, I'm going to read a little bit of Rashi. Yoshe Tzrifim. Nami Anche Miknehin. Basically shepherds, nomads. V'chonin ba chodesh o chachayim. Ashikala hamira lebehemos. And what do they do? So as they're going out and they're shepherding, so basically they're going to, eat up a land, right? Eat up all the vegetation on the land. So they know they're going to basically park at a land and park there for a month, maybe 2 months. Rashi goes on to say, "V'nosim misham, v'nikvayim b'malkam acher," and so they're going to go there and they're going to move to another place. So really, they are temporary. Okay, so because they're temporary, Amar Rav Huna Yoshe Tzrifim ain moda delahem elami pesach batayim. You can only on Shabbos. So let's say, okay, so you're there for a month. So that's going to be four Shabbos. You're going to be there. So you wake up early in the morning. You get out of your tent, and now you can only walk 2,000 amos from the entrance of your tent. Now, what about the fact that there's another tent next to you? Yeah. In other words, the tents themselves. Even if I have a whole, reservation of tents, it doesn't matter. Meaning, the tents themselves do not constitute a city, and so therefore, there's no mark. There's no city. It's not considered a city. There's no city limits. There's no squaring of the city. You walk out of the tent, say hello to you. Now, the beginning of Tchum. Huh? Presumably. I mean, presumably. Okay, Okay, good. And why? So it doesn't seem to be so much a function of, well, they're made up of really inferior material. But the issue is that's temporary. We know we're only going to be here for maybe a month, maybe 2 months. Okay? And that's why we can never view this as a city. A city needs a certain permanent nature to it. Meisav Rav Chista, so Rav Chista says, I'm bothered by the following question. Vayachanu al yardei mi beis eishimos. Okay? One of the places that we encamped in the desert, Parshas Masai, where we go through all the encampments in the Midbar. So one of the places that we encamped why was beis eishimos. The Amar Rav Barbachana lididi chazilehu asra. So Rav Barbachana says, you know, I was there. I visited the place. I know it. And the Ave Talse Parse, Al Talse Parse. And it encompassed an area of 3x3 parsa. So every parsa is made up of 4 mil. So in other words, 3 times 4, that's 12 mil. 12 mil, that's 24,000 amma. By 24,000 amma. Okay? That's a large area. So far, so good. What's the problem? The Tanya Keshe Niftin, Niftin, Lo Lifnim, Lifsideim, Ela La Achareim. Now, when we were there in Beis Yishimos and we had to go to the bathroom, we could not relieve ourselves. In the camp, we had to walk outside of the camp. Okay, that means that somebody who needed to go to the bathroom on Shabbos, you'll forgive me for being...
It's a long walk.
Yeah, you'll forgive me for being so delicate in this discussion, but indelicate, I should say. But basically, you need to go to the bathroom on Shabbos, so you need first to take a long walk in order to go to the bathroom.
Run.
The problem is that on any given Shabbos when you need to walk, you're going to be walking outside of Tchum.
Right.
Now, what do you want to argue? Well, you're not walking outside of Tchum. You're still within the camp of the Jewish people. Yeah, but the camp of the Jewish people is only temporary. And as we just got done saying, any time that we're just staying here for a week, a month, it's only a temporary sojourn, so then we are not considered a city. And so therefore, where does Tchum begin? The moment you step foot out of the tent. So how can it be that you're going to walk out of your tent 2,000 amos and you're not going to even leave Beis HaYishimos, and some people are going to be walking upwards of 24,000 amos. Well, okay, so and I was expecting, it's funny, I was expecting the Gemara to say Kavod HaBrios.
Right. We had that before. Where you were
Correct. That's what I thought the Gemara was going to go, but the Gemara is going to speak to another fundamental principle, and that is the following. So the Gemara says, not a fair case study, because in the desert, we didn't pick where we're going to stay. Because Baruch Hu told us where we're going to stay. So even though we were there for a week, a day, 2 days, a month, whatever the case is, once Hashem says, you're staying here, so that means that's a city. Every encampment in the Midbar turns into, halachically, a city. And so therefore, that's all Dal Amos. And so therefore, your Tchum count doesn't start until after you leave the encampment of the Jewish people. Good. I'm Rav Chena bar Rav Kahana. I'm Rav Ashi. Imesham shalosh chatzir shalosh nebatim hukvu. We talk now about what creates a permanent city type structure. He needs three chatzirs, each chatzir comprised of two houses. That's considered now, for zoning purposes, for purposes of identifying it as a city, now it's a city. I'm Rav Yehuda, I'm Rav Yoshe, Tzrifim V'Ochim, Midbaras Chayim, Inachayim, Unishem of Neim, Eina Shalahem. Living a nomadic lifestyle, the Gemara says, not good. Really not good. So those who are living out in the huts, and those who are traveling through the desert, their lives are not lives, their wives and their children do not belong to them. Okay, in other words, it is a free society and way too free a society. Your wife is going to be subject to many advances by many other men, and there's a very good chance that the children that you have are not your children. Tayyinamayach, the Gemara quotes a braisa that supports this as well. Eliezer Ish Birya, Omer Yoshe Tzifim Ki Yoshve Kvarim. If you live in huts, it's like living in the grave. V'albenosem Hu Omer. Now regarding the daughters, it says, Arush Rochev Im Kol Behema. Yes, that is a very strong statement regarding the description of their wives, but again, it's the idea that it's way too free a society. My time on now. Why exactly is it that it's such a free society? So Amar, so Ula Amar Shein Lahem Er Chatzos. Because when you're living out in the hut, so there's no bathhouses. It's not a city. One of the definitions of a city is that it's a bathhouse. This does not have a bathhouse. So if you wanted to take a bath, you had to travel long distances. Interestingly enough, I mean, this is the way Rashi describes it. I'm presenting it like Rashi. So the men would have to be traveling long distances just to take a bath. So what would that mean? The woman would be in this little encampment by themselves, open and prey to the advances of other men. Another issue is that when the women go in Tovel, so the women would not go by themselves to Tovel, meaning there's no mikvah in this little encampment. So where do they have to go? So they have to go and travel for toveling. So, and they're not going to go one woman at a time. So they're going to go in packs of women. And again, as Rashi describes the Gemara over here, so once they go out with just the women, so then the women themselves are exposed and open to prey. So my Benad, the Gemara wants to point out, there is going to be, based on these two explanations, a nafkamina, practical difference, which would be kamenayu, naharid samach levesa. Let's say they're camping by a lake or by a river. So in terms of mikvah, not a problem, because they can tovel in the river. In terms of bathing, I mean, I guess you could bathe in the river, but not exactly the best place to bathe. So you still have the problem of the men traveling to the bathhouse, but in terms of toveling in the mikvah, the women have a mikvah, otherwise known as a lake, or in this case, a river. I'm Ravuna Kol Yishayim by Yerik Ein Tamachacham Reshala Durba. Now we're talking about places where you should live and places where you should not live. So the Gemara goes off on a little bit of a tangent in terms of a Tamachacham. Talmidei Chachamim should live in communities where there are fresh vegetables. Okay? And if there are no vegetables, so a Talmid Chacham is not allowed to live there. What's so important about vegetables? What's so fantastic about vegetables? So take a look at Rashi. Rashi says they're cheap. Rashi says, Lafisha ayerik tov l'machal, v'nilkach b'zol, v'yachul asok b'torah. Because you can create a diet for yourself with a little bit of money. You get cheap vegetables, and you can spend most of your time learning Torah. Good. So that's where the Talmid Chacham should find himself, a place where there are fresh vegetables nearby. And Lamer D'Yerek Malia, now the Gemara says, sounds like vegetables are good for you. V'atanya, the Gemara points out, I know. V'atanya shlosha marbim esazevel, v'kofu finisakoma v'nolenecha, mechamesh meos, mima'or enav sha'adam ve'elohein. Three things where it marbim esazevel causes you to go to the bathroom too frequently. It gives you a bad posture and takes away some of your eyesight. And that is one of those three things that you should be avoiding. Now on top of Nun Vav Amin Aleph, Pas Kevar, Shecher Chadash, Yerek. Pas Kevar is bread, but bread which is not made up of fine flour. Basically, the flour they would sift, and they would sift it well. That good sifted flour, that's solas, right? When we talked about Menachos, Masechta Menachos, we spent a lot of time talking, going over solas, fine flour. What's left after sifted is all that coarse stuff. Okay, they made bread out of it. It's not good quality bread. That's called pas kevar. Sheikh Chadash, new beer. Okay, it was not fermented and it has not been sitting for a long time. It's brand new beer, not good as well. And vegetable. Vegetable is something which is bad for you, so obviously we're somewhat of an impasse over here. Because previously the Gemara said vegetable is the best thing in the world. Talmud Chacham, when seeking a place to live, should check out the local farm, the local produce department of the store. And meanwhile, over here, our Gemara is telling us that vegetables are not good for you. The Gemara says, Lokasha habituma v'kresi habishar yarki. The Gemara says, well, it depends what kind of vegetable. If it's garlic and leek, so... Well, hold off a second. I'll get to the stone in just a moment. If it's vegetables of garlic and leek, that's one. Meaning, well, that's...
Good.
Well, I'll get to the good... I'll label in just a moment. And all other vegetables... Okay, that's another. Now, obviously, we know now that garlic and leek are on one side of either being good or bad. And all of the vegetables are on the other side of either being good or bad. Well, which one's good and which one's bad? It's kind of an important question, as the Gemara now is pointing out that that's the difference between the two statements. Take a look at Rashi. Rashi says garlic and leek lo ma'alu. That's not good, says Rashi. Kach shamati, that's what I heard. Venir beina, but Rashi says, but I beg to disagree. Rashi says, tumei v'karte male. I think garlic and leek are excellent, says Rashi. V'hachi tanya, and in fact Rashi quotes the Gemara Baba Kama, chamisha dvarim nemru b'shum mazbiya mashchin matzil panim, omar besazer v'horikina shebem me'ayim. The Gemara Baba Kama, without going into great detail right now, talks about five excellent facets and features about garlic and the consumption of garlic. So based on the Gemara Baba Kama, Rashi says, I think that the proper way to understand our Gemara is that garlic and leek are the vegetables that are good for you, contrary to Rashi admits, contrary to what my Rebbeim told me, but I think garlic and leek are good for you, and all the other vegetables are not good for you. Conclusion of today, don't eat your vegetables, except for garlic and leek, that you do eat. Habitum evikarsa habishar yarke. Kizitanya shum yerek, I'm sorry, Kizitanya the Gemara points out, we have a brisa. Shum yerek. Right, garlic, oh, that's the vegetable. Right, and again, you could really hear the Gemara go either way on this. Meaning it's good, it's bad. Okay, but anyway, I'll go with Rashi's preferred pshat. It's good. Meaning garlic is really like, that's a good vegetable. Creation? Now what about leek? Chatzi yerek. Okay, you got a half a vegetable. Not bad. Near its known, near its sam chayim. Well, if you see a radish, that's life right there. And eat it. The Hatayin near its known, near its sam amavasan. The Gemara points out that we have another braisa that does not speak very highly of radishes. So the Gemara says, Lokasha, kam ba'alan, kam be'imos. It depends. Eating the leaf of a radish, that's terrible. Eating the bulb of a radish, now that's good. Furthermore, says the Gemara, eating it during the summer, that's excellent. Rashi says the radish cools your body down. So eating it in the summertime is great, but eating it in the winter when you're already cold and eating a food that chills you even further, that's not good. I'm reviewed, I'm Rav Kol Irshish Ba Ma'alos Umara Dos Adamu Ve'ema Sheba Mesim Bechatzi Mehem. Should try to look for a place when you're looking for a place of residence where it's flat land. Okay, we hit it perfectly over here with Boca. On this one issue, we hit it perfectly. There's not a single mountain. The only mountain in all of South Florida is right when you're driving down Power Line and you see that big garbage dump right by Sample. Okay, fine. Okay. But other than that though, there's no mountains. And so good. And the Gemara says, you know what mountains do? They kill you. Now, again, this is just straight out of the Gemara. I'm doing nothing in terms of embellishing over here. They kill you. Kol yishish ba'malos umarados. If there are inclines and descents, so they will kill you, and you will only live half of your life. Now the Gemara says, now don't take that so literally. Mesim sakadacha eleima mazkinim. No, it means that it ages you. It prematurely ages you. Bechati yemeim. Amar Rav Huna b'Reid Rav Yoshua. Hani molyasa de beibira u de beinarash is kanon. Rav Huna says basically, I lived in a very hilly community, and boy, did I age way too early. Tana Rabbanan. Okay, good. We're done. Well, I mean, we're not done, but yeah, Yerushalayim, right? Right, Sfas also.
Yeah.
You ever walk up and down Tzfas? Okay, it's right. Right. Everything's a hike there. Okay. All right. We are now going to this Gemara coming up is so interesting, and I'm really going to do it very superficially. Okay, I'm admitting it. I mean, anyway, it's a daf. I mean, we let's be honest with each other for just a moment. Most of the Gemaras that we do superficially because we're trying to cover a lot of material in a short amount of time. But over here, though, these Gemaras come up, basically are going to try to explain to us the following. Look, I've said this already before. Let's reiterate, and the Gemara is about to tell us this again as well. When we talk about squaring a city, what does that mean, squaring a city? Meaning, when you square a city, which way are we squaring? Right? And the answer is, as we already know, meaning due north, due south, due east, due west. So that the northern line is going to run perpendicular to due north. And the southern line of the city is going to run perpendicular to due south. Same with east, same with west. Okay? And we have what's called a compass. We hold the compass up and now we have a good indication what's due north and south and east and west. Okay, now, without the benefit of a compass, so how are you going to know your directions? And the basic answer is going to be the sun. The sun's going to tell you your directions. Now, again, we could spend a lot of time on these Gemaras because the Gemara over here is going to go into depth in terms of how to use the sun as a compass. Okay, the earth rotates, but it's on a tilt, it's on an axis. It doesn't just say that it's not, the earth itself does not run on a 90 degree angle with the sun, it tilted. I told you this in the past, I think this is fascinating. I'm not speaking scientifically right now, but there is an interesting sforno, he says it twice in Chumash, in Parshas Noach, that the earth tilted as a result of the mabul. Right? You know this? You don't know this? It's so fascinating. He notes, he observes that the when are we first introduced to seasons? You ever notice this in Chumash? Meaning, when does the Torah first tell us about this idea of seasons? After the Mabul, right? Meaning, it's the first time that the Torah ever tells us there's something called seasons. Now, why are there seasons? There are seasons because the earth is on a tilt. And what ends up happening is that the earth revolves around the sun. I know for those of you listening, you can't see me, but as the earth revolves around the sun, so basically now the northern hemisphere is closer to the sun, and then over here the southern hemisphere is closer to the sun. But that's only because of the tilt. So in other words, so the Sforno suggests, I mean he writes it, that the tilt is as a result of the Mabul, and that's where that now we were first introduced to seasons. Okay. Again, you can see the Sforno inside. I'll give you a Marma comments if you're really interested. Anyway, but because the earth is on a tilt, so therefore, the sun is not always going to rise and set in the same spot at all times during the year. So basically, what we're going to have to do is go to basically where the sun rises all the most northern point, where the sun rises the most southern point. Okay, that's called the solstice, right? The summer solstice and the winter solstice. And basically, take an average of the two. And that's going to be east when it rises, and that's going to be west when it sets. And even what I just told you was a simplification, an oversimplification, because even when it rises and when it sets, it doesn't rise even the most northern time at a 45 degree angle, and it doesn't set at a 45 degree angle. So even what I told you was a gross oversimplification of basically what the Gemara is going to try to convey to us.
But it changes on a day-to-day basis itself.
And it changes on a day-to-day basis, meaning, correct, we can only base this only on the actual solstice, right, which is the most northern, the most southern time of the year, in which it rises and which it sets. Okay, that was slightly long-winded, and it's going to get even a little bit longer, but Ketzad, sorry, let me go back. Tana Rabbanan, Ba'alei Rav Ah. So when you're squaring the city, marva'a birivua olam, you base it on the north, south, east, west points of the world. No, saints, tzfona letzfon olam, v'drom l'drom olam. So the north goes to the northern point of the world, the south goes to the southern point of the world. V'simancha. Now, another way to know this is by looking at the constellations. Okay, you wake up in the morning, early in the morning, you go to bed, or you're late at night, you look up, and what do you see? You see the constellations. One of the beauties of the constellations is it don't move. It's a constellation. It's fixed. That's true by all the stars except for seven. Seven, right? I'm trying to avoid saying the word planets. Oh. But seven motionary bodies, luminary bodies up in the sky, which move around. What are those seven? Sun, moon, and five visible planets to us. Mercury, Venus, Mars, Saturn, and Neptune. Okay. But we're not talking about the planets right now. We're just talking about the constellation. Eglab, it's cell phone. So again, you know astronomy, you're in good shape over here. If you're like me, you're not in good shape over here. But Egla Taurus is a constellation that's all the way to the north. Akrav Bedaron, Scorpion is all the way to the south. And so one way to know, do points due north and due south, is going to be just simply look at the constellation. I know that's not going to help you during the day, but it doesn't matter. Meaning at night, you look at your constellations, and now you're going to know what's to the north, what's to the south, and now you could plot what's due north and what's due south. Great. What about east and west? Well, I guess once you plot in north and south, so you just simply go 90 degrees, then you'll be due east and due west. However, the Gemara is going to give us another way to attack this issue. Rav Yossi Omri Mina Yodela Rava Birivush Olam Rava Kamina Tkufa. So basically now work with the Tkufa. Work with the seasons of the year, specifically how the sun rises and sets over the course of a year, but this is only going to be working if you have an entire year to do this. You need at least 1 year. Ketzad, Chama Yotze Biyom Aruch V'Shoka Biyom Aruch Zehu Penei Tzafon. So, go to the longest day of the year. That's your summer solstice. Now, by the way, I'm speaking now from the perspective of being in Yerushalayim. Okay, because that means you're in the northern hemisphere. If you're in the southern hemisphere, it's not going to work this way. If you're at the equator, it's also not going to work exactly this way. We're starting from the point of Yerushalayim. Okay, but again, I'm going to simplify all this because it could become much more complex in the way I'm presenting it over. So you go to the longest day of the year, which is going to be your summer solstice, and that's v'shokas b'yom aruch zehu p'nei tzafon. Okay, and that's going to be north. Because the sun at that point in time, in the summer solstice, what is the summer solstice? It's June 21st, right? Okay, good. Okay. So that's the longest day of the year, and now we're approaching. So so that's where the sun now rises. Obviously, it's always going to rise in the east. That we understand, but it's going to rise in the most northern section of the east, and set in the most northern section of the west. Okay, so now you can mark off those points, and that's going to be now north. Now again, that's not due north. I hope you understand. I hope I'm explaining this well. That's not due north. That just simply means the most northern, eastern rise of the sun. Zehu pnei tzafon. Chama yotze biyom katzar v'shokas biyom katzar. Zehu pnei darom. Now go to the shortest day of the year. That's your winter solstice. Okay, December 21st, and that's now going to be the point on the eastern horizon where the sun's going to be rising from the most southern tip. Or the most southern point. Tkufas Nisan, Tkufas Tishrei, Chama Yotze Bechatzi Mizrof, Shokas Bechatzi Ma'arav. And then go to now your equinoxes. And that's equinoxes, Kishmo Kachu, that's what it is. It's equal. That's basically where the sun's going to rise, right in the center point. Okay, so now basically, over the course of the year, you can now chart the sun rising on the northeast, on the southeast, and on due east. And now you're going to have a good identification of what's north, what's south, what's east, what's west, based on those four points that you created.
This survey takes at least 6 months.
Correct. So, right, this is a long process. So, Yotze Bechatzi Mizrof, Shokas Bechatzi Ma'arav, Shenemar Holech Al Darom V'Sovev Al Tzafon, Holech Al Darom Bayom. It goes through the south during the day, V'Sovev Al Tzafon Balayla, and it goes to the north at night. Okay, and again, I'm just simplifying. All this is based on the tilt and axis of the earth. So, vev, sovev, holech, aruch, elu, p'nei mizruch, p'nei marav, pa'mimach, sam, pa'mimisav, sam. Okay, this is the Gemara's understanding of the pasuk in Kohelos. Good. So far, so good. Now, again, you realize that what we're doing over here is a very, very modified version of how all this actually works. In fact, it's so modified, the Gemara itself even acknowledges it doesn't exactly work the way we're presenting it. Amar Rav Misharsha, lesnuhu lakhal neklale. Rav Misharsha says, no, No, that's not. This is a gross oversimplification. It doesn't work exactly this way. The sun does not rise in the northeast, and the sun never rises in the southeast. Sets in the south, in the southwest. In other words, we don't have these exact precise points of northeast, northeast, northwest, southeast, southwest. It doesn't work exactly that way. Okay. And by the way, right, I mean, again, from what we know from astronomy, Ramesharsha is right. Meaning it doesn't, the sun is not rising at due northeast. And the sun is not setting at due northwest. And again, a lot of this is also going to be depending on where you live on the planet. So it is somewhat of a, it gives us a sense, an idea of where east is and where west is and where north is and where south is. But to give it precise points of 45 degrees in each corner, not exactly. Okay. Amar Shmuel. Okay. And a little bit more of astronomy for the day. Ain't kufas nisa nofelas ella ba'arba revai hayom o betchilas yom o betchilas ella bechatzi yom lechatzi halayla. Okay, kufas nisan, springtime, the equinox, the spring equinox. Okay, now let's do this very quickly. Okay, and again very superficially, and I apologize for being so superficial, but basically the solar year is how long? 365 and a quarter. And that's not precise. But for our purposes right now, I'm ignoring that. Admittedly. So the year is 365 days and a quarter. So that is the solar year. Now, with four seasons, so that means now that every season is going to be a quarter of that number. So you'll do the math. It's 91 days and 7 hours. Okay?
So 7.5 hours.
It's got to be. So 91 days, 7.5 hours is going to be now each season. Again, we're basing it on the solar year. We know. In other words, our calendar is based on the lunar year, but we also acknowledge and respect the fact that there's a solar year as well. In fact, the chachma of the Sanhedrin, when trying to coordinate, is the ability to make sure that the lunar year doesn't get out of control and stays along with the solar year, and they do that by adding an extra month approximately every third year. Okay, but I'm digressing right now. So 365 days and a quarter, take that and divide that by four, so every season is going to be 91 days, 7 hours, 7.5 hours. That's going to be your season. When do seasons begin? So this is where Shmuel comes in. Tkufas Nisan, the equinox, the spring equinox, Nofelas Ella, at a quarter point of the day, meaning either it's going to be at the beginning of evening, midnight, beginning of morning, midday. It's going to start at any one of these quarter points of the day. Now, if that's the equinox, if that's the spring equinox, now let's go to the summer solstice. Okay. That's going to be 91 days later plus 7.5 hours. So 91 days is going to be divisible by 7. Okay, which means then that it's going to end up landing on the same day. If, for example, the spring equinox starts, let's say, at the beginning of night. So now I'm going to fast forward 91 days later. So that's going to be, right, also going to be the same day. So, for example, if the spring equinox starts on a Wednesday, right, the beginning of Wednesday, which in halacha means Tuesday evening, so when's the summer solstice going to be? Wednesday also. But 7.5 hours later. 7.5 hours later, so it's going to transpire 1:30 in the morning. Ain't kufas tamas dofelas ela al ba'achas u'mechsa, right, either 1:30 or b'sheva mechsa bein b'yom bein v'layla. Good. And the eight tkufas tishrei nofelas ela o b'shal shalos o b'tisha shalos bein b'yom bein v'layla. And without doing the math now, basically the next season is going to be right 7.5 hours later after that. The eight tkufas tevas nofelas ela o b'arba mechsa o b'asa mechsa bein b'yom uvein v'layla. And once again, you go one more season later, and it's going to be 7.5 hours after that as well. The eight tkufas tkufa ela tishim v'echad yom. The difference between one season and the next is going to be a total of 91 days, 7.5 hours. V'itkufa moshechus mechaverta ela chatzi sha'a. V'amar Shmuel, ein lecha tkufas nisan shenafels betzedek. Now, just very quickly, just to get through the next two lines of Gemara. Okay, so we got the basic idea of seasons, the beginning of a season, the expectation of the next season. There's another variable to consider, and that is mazalos. As I mentioned just a moment ago, there are seven mazalos. The word mazal means, in our discussion, basically the moving heavenly bodies, which are the sun, the moon, and the five visible planets, Mercury, Venus, Mars, Neptune, Saturn. Okay, you look up in the sky, you will see them. Okay, you need a little astronomical help. Okay, there are many websites that can help find the find the planets in their motion, in their path. At every hour of every day, each one of them has dominion. Now, what exactly does that mean? Speak to somebody who understands this. I am not that person. All I know is that it's based on an hourly pattern, so that for every hour of the day, you're going to have now a new planet that's going to have dominion. Okay, this is just the very beginning of the very basics of understanding mazalos and the power of mazal, right? Which is why they looked at the time, they were so in touch with this and they were so in tune with this in ways that you and I, you know, perhaps you will understand this better than I do, but in ways that you and I do not understand. Right, when we say that someone's born under a certain mazal, that means that they're actually looking at the hour in which he was born. They knew which of these seven planets or seven heavenly bodies have dominion during that time, and that's why you know that you were born under this particular mazel. Right? The Gemara Shabbos, we just did it like, let's say a month and a half ago. The Gemara Shabbos says if you're born under the mazel of Mars, so that means that you're red. Right? You're a you have a propensity to kill. Okay. Again, right? You're a butcher. Okay, I don't want to pretend like I understand this. I really don't. But these are just the basics, the ABCs. So this is almost like, I mean, lahavda, but this is like Farmer's Almanac, basically. This is like, in other words, they're going to be taking a look at multiple pieces of information. Number one, they're going to be looking at the season. They're going to be looking at the beginning of the season. They're going to be looking at when exactly at the beginning of the season, which mazel does it fall under. Right? In other words, there are two moving targets, and they're looking at these two variables. So, Shmuel tells us. Now, by the way, Shmuel was an expert, admittedly himself. Meaning he says, to me, the pathways of the stars, it's like me walking around the city of Narda. Meaning I know my way around the stars like I know how to walk in the city. My hometown. Amar Shmuel, ein lecha tkufas nisan shenafels betzedek, shena meshaber tzilana. So, if Tkufas Nisan coincides with the mazel of Tzedek, if I remember correctly, that's Saturn. Okay, point for me. And not a big point, but a point for me. So the trees are going to get broken. Meaning that's going to be, from a weather standpoint, a catastrophe. And if the beginning of Teves, right, that's the winter solstice, if the beginning of Teves falls out on the mazel of Tzedek, so then all the seeds are going to get dried out. Now, there also has to be the molad of the month as well, meaning there's another variable to consider, and that's going to be the molad of the month. Okay, I already gave you a lot of information, but there has to be a molad there as well in order for all this to occur. So basically, he was looking at three different variables in terms of looking at various weather patterns. Okay, and that takes us through the basic idea of seasons and mazalos. Okay, let's pause over here. And just a quick recap for today and tomorrow Shabbos. We start with a new topic tomorrow Shabbos. I mean, not new, but basically we go back to the idea of squaring. I talk about Ari Levium tomorrow. Okay, good topic for tomorrow. So let's just quickly review. Today we continue the discussion of extending the city. We talked about which structures extend the city, which structures do not extend the city. The basic idea of the Gemara is that it has to be a base dira, it has to be a residential house. If it's not residential, it does not extend the city. Furthermore, the Gemara then went on to discuss that when you square the city, you go with the points... Perfect. The points due north, due south, due east, due west. How do you figure that? So the Gemara gave us basically two ways to do so. Number one is by knowing your constellations, looking towards Taurus, looking behind you for the south for Scorpion. And the Gemara says another way to do so is by noting the rising and setting of the sun in the longest and shortest days of the year. Okay? In a nutshell. That was today's daf. Okay, we'll continue tomorrow in Mirza Shem on Shabbos. רבי חנן יבן הקשר אמר רצה גשבר חוזק יסוע פיך אחר במתור מצו שנאמר נחפי צמנציקו יגדות רבי אדיר